I'm constantly whinging about, you know, keeping things clean and all that sort of stuff. What a great idea.
Yeah, give them a bucket of water and some dusters and stuff. But whilst I've got you on the phone, Richard, because I listen to you a lot, I think you're great, and I love it when you do your voices, you know?
Right.
Your accents. And I was listening to you last night, but I was listening to it on catch-up.
Right.
Because you're talking about giving up smoking. LBC made me give up smoking.
Well, I'm absolutely delighted to hear that, and I'm afraid to admit that in a slightly stressful time, I've had a very, very brief lapse, but I'm fully pledged to kicking that again in a couple of days, because I'm back on the pills that I used in the first place. And Marion, it was very sweet of you to say that about the show. After the news, we're talking about irrational fears and phobias. Have you got one?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 3 o'clock, a US federal court has blocked President Trump's so-called Liberation Day tariffs from going into effect. The president made the announcement on those almost 2 months ago now.
My fellow Americans, this is Liberation Day. April 2nd, 2025 will forever be remembered as the day American industry was reborn and the day that we began to make America wealthy again.
But a court has ruled that the president overstepped his authority by imposing across-the-board taxes on imports. Immediately after that verdict, the Trump administration filed a notice of appeal. Well, Paul Dudridge is a Republican commentator and told LBC Trump will probably win.
The president can impose blanket tariffs in times of national emergency, and he's declared an emergency. This court isn't buying that. And so this will just get kicked up to the Supreme Court, and I can't see Trump losing to the Supreme Court when ultimately they'll say that this power has to rest with the administration. If the executive believes that we are in a time of economic emergency, I think the Supreme Court will support him.
Well, meanwhile, Elon Musk has confirmed his time as a special government employee for Donald Trump has come to an end. The Tesla owner, who led the Department of Government Efficiency, said he was thankful for the opportunity to reduce wasteful spending. The health secretary is asking resident doctors in England to vote no in a ballot on strikes over pay. Wes Streeting said doctors have lost the support of the public and would choke the NHS by going back on strike. The BMA union wants a 29% rise to restore historical pay freezes. Jamie Jenkins, former head of health stats at the Office for National Statistics, told LBC that that's unrealistic.
You've got to remember that most of the junior doctors would have joined after 2008. They signed up knowing the salary, and now they're looking to get the backdated pay pretty much for the job they'd already chose. So no one's forced them to come in to become a junior doctor. They knew the pay, the hours and the training part, and to get another 29% pay rise on top of what they've got just seems unreasonable. It's not really how the real world works.
Former members of the military dismissed for being gay say they're angry and disappointed at the limited number of compensation payouts. A campaign group says only 24 payments have been made out of more than 1,000 applications since the scheme opened 5 months ago. Chelsea are celebrating ending the season with a trophy after winning the UEFA Conference League. They came from behind to beat Spanish side Real Betis in the final 4-1. LBC weather, rain clearing for most later to leave a windy day, but sunshine and showers in the west. Warm in the south with some rain lingering in northern Scotland, a high of 24 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Daryl Jackson.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Richard Spur.
Good morning. Now, you're probably aware that I'm quite strange, and as a younger person, I was even stranger in some of the phobias that I had, and not all of them have quite gone away. I'll tell you about those in a few moments' time, and the risk of repeating myself, I hope I'm not doing. Yesterday morning, Ian, I remember, I was asking you about whether you're somebody who's scared of flying. I'm not, personally. I love the exhilaration of taking off on a plane, and I quite like a bit of turbulence, and I quite like a bumpy landing from time to time. Maybe it's just that I'm a bit of an adrenaline junkie, but many people are. And figures suggest that about 1 in 4 people have a fear of flying. Often it's to do with being claustrophobic, you know, sort of penned in that aluminium tube flying through the sky at 37,000 feet. But there are other fears as well, you know, like the plane crashing. The fact is that it's the safest form of transport. You know, you're far more likely to be injured or killed riding your bike across the Strand. However, it's all very well reading statistics and being told that rationally your fear is completely unfounded. But we are human beings, and our genetics go back for, you know, very, very, very many years, and our forefathers encountered dangerous snakes and dangerous spiders, and therefore had very, very genuine reasons to be scared of things like snakes and spiders. And many of those genetic fears of things which at the time were valid, you're talking thousands and thousands of years ago, do remain in many of us. Not all of us, but some of us. And this morning I'd like to try and explore the field of irrational fears and phobias, things that really chill you, you know, make you sweat, make you shake, give you that awful churning anxiety feeling, that those dreadful, sometimes palpitations, because you're so fearful of them, even though you can go on the internet or read a book or be told by a scientific expert that what you're scared of is no threat to you whatsoever. Those are phobias. That is, in a sense, the essence of phobia, which is a fear. This morning, I'd like to hear about your phobias, particularly perhaps some of the more unusual ones. Now, you know I'm strange, but as a child, I had a number of phobias, which I've never really got to the bottom of. You know, I'm fortunate enough that I had a very happy upbringing. You know, I wasn't badly treated, and I don't remember any particularly massive traumas happening in my early years, although of course we can't remember right back to the time we were born. But a number of the phobias I had were as follows. I had a phobia of buttons, and I can remember back to when I was about 3, I would say, that's probably about my earliest memory. I can just about remember sitting on my dad's lap and watching the television news as planes were taking off an aircraft carrier in the Falklands War. So, yeah, that would have been when I was about 3 years old. So that's about my earliest memory, I think. Maybe I can remember a little bit earlier. But I've had a phobia of buttons, and I cannot begin to understand how that can happen, whether it's to do with the circular shape of them, whether it's to do with the fact that somehow they are restricting you. But I remember on one dreadful occasion, my poor grandmother came over, and it was my probably 6th birthday or something like that, and she'd bought me a shirt, you know, like a casual shirt. And I unwrapped it and looked at it. It wasn't very nice, actually. It didn't have a very nice pattern on it, but it had buttons all the way down it. And apparently, I screamed, threw it across the room, and ran upstairs and locked myself in my bedroom. And I wouldn't wear anything which had buttons on it. Anything at all. Only T-shirts, only sweaters, pullovers, nothing which had buttons. And my mother was completely at a loss as to know why this was. She had no idea. I mean, it's not exactly a phobia which is going to affect your life in a particularly bad way, so she didn't pay huge amounts of money for me to have therapy. But it wasn't until I got into my, till I got to the age of about 11 or 12, apart from my school uniform. Now, at my school uniform, I had buttons, but we wore a tie, and so the buttons were covered up by the tie. And for that reason, I didn't mind it. But apart from my school uniform, I wouldn't wear anything with buttons. And it wasn't until I started to get into my adolescence that I started to wear clothes with buttons. Can you tell me why that is? I have no idea. It's got to be one of the most bizarre phobias I've ever heard of. I very much doubt that anybody else has experienced it, and it's probably got a name. In fact, I think it has got a name. Someone once told me it's something like clunalunophobia. They're normally based on Latin or Greek words, the names for phobias. Something like clunalunophobia. Anyway, a phobia of buttons. And here's the weirder one, and please don't get too Freudian with me on this, okay? Here's the weird one. I had a phobia as a child, I don't anymore, of wind socks. Now, you know what I mean by wind socks, don't you? You know, those orange conical things on huge poles that they have usually at airfields because they indicate the strength, but particularly the direction of the wind. So if talk back to the planes again, if planes are taking off and landing, they know which way the crosswind is blowing, they know which way to bias the plane, and they're there for safety. But we lived near a place called RAF Newton, which no longer exists. I think they've got rid of it, but an RAF base near East Bridgeford in Nottinghamshire. And there was a huge windsock there. And RAF Newton was on the way from East Bridgeford to the local village Radcliffe, where we used to go to do our shopping. And whenever we drove past RAF Newton, I would have to hide underneath the back seat, not looking out of the window, putting my hands over my eyes, so that I wouldn't see the windsock. Because if I caught a glimpse of the windsock, it would fill me with some sort of deep, chilling, terror-inducing horror. You know, I thought that it was sinister, dangerous, frightening, unworldly. Unworldly, yeah, that's the word. And again, it took me years and years to get out of it. Now, those are very strange, and, you know, I don't expect you to have phobias quite so bizarrely deranged as the ones that I had, but I think it's fascinating why we develop certain phobias. My very normal phobia... Oh, thank you. It's coompoonophobia with a K. Coompoonophobia is the phobia of buttons. Not that I've ever heard of anybody else that's got that. But I am scared of spiders. I'm always been arachnophobic. If they're tiny little ones, you know, like tiny little money spiders or whatever they're called, that's absolutely fine. But anything that's bigger than a, well, I would say bigger than a 5p, really. It fills me with terror. It fills me with terror. But I do remember a childhood link here. I vividly remember one night, middle of the winter, and I was probably about 4 years old, something like that. And I got up and I went to put my feet to go to the loo, and I went to put my feet in my little slippers. And I remember they had like a sort of white fluffy lining. And I put my foot in my left slipper. And I went to put my foot in my right slipper, and just as my foot nearly went into my right slipper, a huge jet black spider ran out of the toe end and suddenly appeared at the heel end. And I screamed the house down, and I'll never, ever forget that moment. But even now, I'm absolutely petrified of spiders. And, you know, it's just not something I can ever come to terms with. And the only explanation I can have for that is that, you know, in generation, thousands and thousands of years ago, when the Earth was a different shape and, you know, we had dangerous animals in this part of Britain. Scotland, by the way, used to be in the Southern Hemisphere. Did you know that? Yeah. Went all the way back up again. And we had dangerous spiders. Then, you know, that must have become built into our genetics to protect us through natural selection, and some of those genetics still exist now. Anyway, enough about me and my deranged phobias. What about you? I'd like to know what your irrational fears are this morning, how you deal with them, because it's very important, isn't it, not to pass on irrational fears to your children. You know, my mum was terribly claustrophobic. And she was awful in lifts. In fact, the number of lifts that she has fainted in, not so much now, but as a younger woman. And she did her level best to try and not pass on her phobia of lifts to me. And she didn't pass it on, but I knew how scared she was if ever she went in a lift. She hated it. My goodness, she was claustrophobic. But it's important not to pass on irrational fears to your children, because, you know, you don't want to make them have problems that they don't necessarily need. 0345 6060973. WhatsApp, the same number, text 84850, or ask Alexa to send a comment to LBC. This says, Richard, my name is Michelle, and I'm from Windsor. I have an irrational fear of going down escalators. I can go up them, but I can't go down, says Michelle. It's a problem, isn't it? If you can't go down, I imagine obviously it's less energy to go downstairs than up. But I mean, there may not always be stairs available. My fear of escalators started as a kid when I saw the fire at King's Cross in the 80s. Now, you see, that to me is an incredibly rational reason to be scared of using in that case an escalator. But it's weird, isn't it, that she can go up but not down? And this, Alan in Middlesbrough. Good morning, Richard. I'm absolutely terrified of ventriloquist dummies. I love subjects like this. It's so interesting. Anything to do with psychology, because it's quite common for people to be fearful of clowns, isn't it? That's a well known. Well, it's not a trope. It's just a reality. It's a well known thing that many people are fearful of clowns. And again, I forget the name for it. But the idea of being terrified of a ventriloquist's dummy is much more nuanced. Because often they have wooden faces, don't they, with sort of rather rictal, you know, rictus smiles painted on them. And you know that there's a, you know, somebody with their hand at them. Like Ken Dodd used to have. Did Ken Dodd have a ventriloquist dummy? I don't remember that. I certainly remember, what was that chap called who had the dummy called Charles? Was it King Charles? No, not King Charles. Someone Charles. Lord Charles, that's it. Punch and Judy shows as well. Terrified of Punch and Judy shows. It sounds to me, Alan, like you're scared of puppets that have wooden faces. But I might be wrong. But they frighten the life out of me. Ray Allen. Thank you very much, Martha. Yeah, Ray Allen. And what was the puppet called? It was Lord Charles, wasn't it? It was Lord Charles. I'm just about old enough to remember, but not quite. Yeah, the name for the fear of clowns is coulrophobia. And it doesn't surprise me that people are scared of clowns, because there is that whole thing of dissembling, isn't it? It's a lie. So, you know, we talk about the tears of the clown, or at least Smokey Robinson did. Do you know that's the most... Smokey Robinson, Tears of a Clown... is one of the most highest scoring songs when you rate music that listeners like in that particular genre. Just a little bit of information for you there. Yeah, I can understand that, because the idea is that it's not real. You know, you're being lied to, in a sense. It's the tears of a clown. It's something that's smiling and it's trying to sort of entertain you, but at the same time, there's something slightly sinister about it. Just a final quick one for you before the break, and I don't know whether this was asked. The other thing I was phobic about when I was young was shapes which didn't look like what they were. So, for example, I used to go swimming in a swimming pool where there was like a round light, a light halfway down the side of the pool in the deep end, so that at night time the pool was lit up. And, of course, looking down at the water, because of the refractive index of light through water, looking down at the water, that light, to me, always looked like it was oval. It always looked like a sort of eye, shape of an eye, really. And so I always thought that it was the shape of an eye. And the first time that I dived into that swimming pool and with goggles on and actually looked at the light... and realised that it was round and not oval, which is what I'd always presupposed it to be, I had almost had a panic attack, because it was the sort of deception. Do you see the sort of thing I'm talking about? Some people find certain shapes very, very off-putting. Phobias are so subjective, and this morning I'd like to hear about yours. So call me now. No matter how weird it may be, or if you're an arachnophobe, perhaps, or you're fearful of snakes, I'd also like to hear if you're someone who's managed to get over a phobia in some way. Hypnotherapy is not something I've ever tried, but you do hear about it having great success rates. But I'm sure there are other ways to do it as well, rather like Alan Carr used to write books about giving up smoking and giving up drinking. I'm sure there are techniques that work for some people anyway to get over irrational fears and phobias. So what are your fears? What were they? Did you manage to get over them? And if so, how? 0345 6060 973.
This is LBC.
When you're smiling.
Don't let missing teeth stop you smiling. At Banning Dental, our experts could restore your beautiful smile with premium dental implants. See online for our price match promise. Banning Dental Group Clinics. Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling. Keep on smiling. And the whole world smiles with you.
Banningdental.co.uk.
Body pain might not sound like this.
Oh.
Or this.
Oh.
But it might sound like this.
I'm fine.
Hiding your body pain behind a smile? Let us help. With up to 12 hours of uninterrupted muscle and joint pain relief. Voltarol, the joy of movement. Voltarol Joint and Back Pain Relief 2.3% gel contains diclofenac diethylammonium. Always read the label.
At ulizprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit ulizprosperity.com.
Richard Spur on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Good morning. We're talking about irrational fears and phobias, how much they impact upon your life. Have you got any weird ones? I think that I would be the prime candidate to call a show like this because of the strange things I used to be scared of. Wind socks, buttons, and think shapes that didn't look like what they were because they were refracted or whatever. But what about you? Let's talk to Rob, who's in Arbroath. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Richard.
And nice to talk to you.
Yeah, that's nice. Lovely to talk to you again. Richard, yeah, I'd just like to tell you about my chief phobia. And like you, well, my phobia is spiders.
Yeah.
I can remember from an early age, my mother used to jump on a chair if she saw a spider.
So would I.
And I was about 4 or 5 at the time. And I think that's always remained with me. And, you know, my wife sort of says to me, oh, why are you scared of spiders? You know, they're not going to carry you away in the middle of the night, but that doesn't matter.
I hate it when people say that. You know, when people say, why are you scared? Do you know what? This is, it really annoys me. They say they're great spiders because they eat all the flies, and they, you know, they eat all the flies, which keeps them off the plants. And do you know what? They say they're much more scared of you than you are of them, you know. And I was like, why are you saying this to me? They're not. Because they come running at you, straight towards you, and terrify the living out of you.
Yeah, they do, especially in the autumn when they start coming in the houses.
I hate the autumn.
That's the worst time.
Do you know when it gets to sort of September, October, and they start coming into the house? It's like, you know how some people dread the spring because of the onset of the pollen, people who have hay fever? Yeah. I dread the autumn because that's when spiders start coming into the house.
And I do too, but one of the big things with my phobia is that I can't go to bed without first checking the bedroom. I check the walls, I check the ceilings, and I've even got a pair of curtains right next to the bed. I even check behind them because I've had spiders just sitting there behind the curtains.
It's
and
awful.
I hate to say this, but I actually check underneath the bed covers before I get to bed. Because I found a spider actually in the bed before,
oh,
and I've actually lifted the bed covers.
Don't!
And I have to say this, Richard, and I'm sorry to say this, because I know that you have a phobia too, but I even showed my wife when I checked the actual pillow covers, inside the pillow covers, and I even showed my wife a spider sitting in there, and I said, that's why I always check my pillow covers before I go to bed.
It's awful. I once drew my curtains open in the morning, and the most enormous spider you've ever seen that was on the other side came running round, and I nearly fainted. Why are we like this? It has to be genetic. It's got to be something deep down in our DNA, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right. It probably is. It's deep in our subconscious, and also I think instinct and the fact that your parents, the way your parents react when you're young. Well, as I say, my mother always jumped on a chair if she saw a spider. But interesting enough, she did the same thing if she saw a rat or a mouse in the garden. And the strange thing is, I don't have a problem with any of those.
Neither do I. I don't. I mean, I know that a rat might potentially bite me and give me some disease. So that, but that's completely rational. But I've got no problem with snakes at all. No worries with snakes whatsoever. But I had a friend. I'm going to say it's the middle of the night. I had a friend at school who was also terrified of spiders, absolutely terrified of spiders. And he wouldn't sit on the loo normally, like, you know, most people would. He would crouch on it with his feet on the seat, if you see what I mean. Do you see what I'm talking about? He would sort of crouch.
Yeah,
because he was afraid that a spider might crawl up his bottom.
Well, you know, the strange thing is I even lift the loo seat before I go, because I've had a spider actually sitting underneath the loo seat in the past.
I can't hear this now. I can't hear it. No, this is such a bad idea. You're just putting these horrible ideas into my head. Have you ever sort of gone about any sort of way of trying to get round it? Does hypnotherapy work? I don't know.
To be perfectly honest, I mean, it's something I've carried right the way through my life, and I think there's a rational reason behind this. As you say, I think many years ago, spiders were a lot more probably venomous than they are today in this country. I mean, I'm now up in Scotland, so there's probably good reason for me feeling like this, but No, I think the way they spiders look and the way they scuttle along, you know, they've got so many legs and the rest of it. They've got something about it.
They've got too many legs. Nothing should have eight legs, apart from an octopus, which of course is delicious. But they've got eyes all around their body as well. That they're like some sort of mutant thing. And in a funny sort of way, I'm actually better with the hairy ones. Someone's going to clip that, aren't they? I know they are. I'm better with the hairy sort of spiders than the spindly ones where their bodies are low down and then their legs go right up and then down again. Those are the ones that absolutely instill fear into me.
Yeah, I think the ones with the really, really long spindly legs, the wood spiders, and when you see them in the house and that, you normally see them around, hanging around the corners of the ceilings, etc. I have to get the big duster out with this telescopic handle.
I was
and I make sure I get rid of them.
I was quite lucky because when the house, one of the houses that I grew up in, it had this in one of the hall area, it had this horrid, ghastly 1970s fabric wallpaper. Do you know what I'm talking about? So it was like strands of grey, beige, green. You know that fabric wallpaper that they used to have in the 70s. If you smacked it, dust would come out. Anyway, we had a cat called Chino, who was a little chocolate point Siamese cat, and there were loads of spiders in that house. And if ever there was a spider on the wall, I used to pick up the cat and like move him around so he could see it. And because he had such sharp claws, he could climb up the fabric wallpaper like Spider Cat, get to the top, catch the spider and eat it. And so I used to send him up the wall to catch spiders that were up there, which was great.
Well, that's amazing. I can remember the 1960s sort of flock carpets. You had the great big swirls. And, of course, it was very difficult to see a spider on those sort of carpets. But, I mean, downstairs in my home now, I've got terracotta tiles in a lot of it and wood in the rest of it. So I don't really have a problem spotting spiders, but they still somehow come into the house in the autumn. I've no idea how they get in.
Cats are great, though, to get rid of spiders. They're really good because they like to chase them and then they generally just sort of disable them. The other thing I heard about spiders, and I did try it once, and when I lived in an older place than I do now, and I thought it was just a myth, but I thought, well, I'll try it. You know, if you put a conker, a horse chestnut, in every corner of the room, they say that means that you won't get any spiders. And I have to say, I did put a conker in the corner of every room, and I didn't see a spider for months and months and months.
Well, that's amazing. It's a trick I have tried with only partial success. The house I've got is a bit of a sprawling house up in Scotland.
No wonder it's full of spiders.
Yeah. And it's on the edge of a disused golfing course. So, of course, you can imagine quite a lot comes in here.
Well, listen, Rob, I feel for you and I share your pain and I share your fear. I'm not quite as bad as checking my bed every night, but now you've said that, I think I'm probably going to. Christine is in Maidenhead. Morning, Christine.
Morning, Richard. So my phobia is not mine. It was my daughter, who's now 23.
Yeah.
But she got absolutely petrified about mannequins when she was about 8 or 9.
It's that fake thing again, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think it was after a particular Doctor Who episode, and your producer recognised this episode. I never saw it. She saw it with friends. But we used to have to send, like, her younger sisters ahead if we were in a museum or something to check out the next room and see if there were any mannequins in there.
No.
Yeah, it was awful. We went to a museum in the Normandy landings once around northern France.
Nice.
Oh, it was jam-packed full of mannequins. It was an absolute disaster trying to get her through this museum.
When you say mannequins, do you mean,
a fake person, yeah.
Do you mean sort of dressed up as a soldier or whatever, or do you mean the ones in shops that model clothes?
Ones in shops, they weren't as bad because they often didn't have heads, the ones in shops, did they? Or they don't have faces. But, I mean, you know, Chessington World of Adventures had one ride, she loved rides, but trying to get to this actual start of the ride because there's all these models and mannequins everywhere, she was having a meltdown.
You would class a mannequin, though, as, let's say, you know, the model, a plastic model of a soldier at the museum in Normandy that you went to, something
yes,
like that,
yes,
as well as
yes.
the ones in shops. Yeah, no, I mean, yes. the ones in shops. And out of interest, the ones in shops, sometimes you see them without any clothes on. Is that worse, or was that worse, or better?
No, I think she thought that was better. The ones in shops weren't too bad because they didn't look too lifelike because they didn't have, like, faces or,
I've just been given some pictures, Martha, of the Doctor Who episode.
Yeah, she really recognised it, your producer, yeah.
That is quite frightening, actually, because one of them looks like it's just kicked its way through the glass and escaped.
Oh, God. I mean, she still looks at them slightly uncertainly, you know? I mean, she won't sort of go, oh, my God, you know, but she still, you can see her looking out the corner of her eye, like, can I trust this mannequin?
Phobias as well, I think they can extend into certain smells. I mean, we all have smells that we dislike, you know, for whatever reason. But some people, smells that most people would think are quite pleasant, absolutely turn other people's stomachs, don't they? They just cannot stand the smell of particularly certain foods.
Well, I mean, everyone in my family, apart from me, it's a genetic thing, isn't it? Cannot stand coriander and anything related to coriander.
Yeah.
I'm the only one who is okay with coriander, so I kind of taunt them with my coriander.
I think they've absolutely found that's genetic, haven't they?
Yeah.
I think it is usually when there's a one in four. Well, I'm not going to go into the genetics of it, but it's usually a one in four chance that someone, if you've got two people that have that gene but don't have the symptom, if they have children, there's a one in four chance that that a child will have it. But I can't understand it. I absolutely adore coriander, but I wonder why that came about. Maybe
apparently were the new mutants. I read the other day that it was normal to not like coriander, and the mutation is actually liking coriander.
Right. Because my theory would be that perhaps in the past, either humans were... coriander was somehow poisonous to humans,
or
there was a form of coriander that was similar, which was poisonous. I mean, that's the only thing I can.
Like that, yeah,
that's the only thing I can really think about. It's great talking to you, Christine. Thank you very much indeed. That must be a nightmare if Christine's daughter is, walking down the high street, clothes shopping, not able to look in any window because the mannequin scares her. A lot of people don't like things that are designed to be human, but don't quite look human. It's that almost offbeat dissemblance, isn't it? 0345 6060973. A phobia, an irrational fear, they're one and the same thing. What are yours, and have you tried to overcome it? Have you successfully tried to overcome it in some way? More on the way. I'm Richard Spur. Time for the LBC News headlines now from Daryl Jackson.
A trade court in the US has blocked Donald Trump from imposing sweeping global tariffs on imports. A three-judge panel concluded that the US president exceeded his authority when he unveiled additional taxes on foreign-made goods. Meanwhile, Elon Musk has announced he's left the Trump administration. The health secretary is asking resident doctors in England to vote no in a ballot on strikes over pay, where Streeting said they'd choke the NHS by going back on strike. And US prosecutors say Andrew Tate and his brother Tristan are facing 21 criminal charges. They're accused of rape, human trafficking and prostitution, as well as a number of other offences. They previously denied all the allegations against them. LBC weather, rain clearing for most later to leave a windy day with a mixture of sunny spells and showers and a high of 24 degrees.
This is LBC.
This is what award-winning customer service sounds like. From real Octopus Energy calls.
The people are friendly on the telephone. You can always get a problem solved.
You stepped up, I think, for an energy company, so well done.
The customer service is really good.
People like yourself and all of your colleagues have done such a wonderful job.
Your customer service was tip-top. You know, I couldn't fault it.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running.
Body pain might not sound like this.
Oh.
Or this.
Oh.
But it might sound like this.
I'm fine.
Hiding your body pain behind a smile? Let us help. With up to 12 hours of uninterrupted muscle and joint pain relief. Voltarol, the joy of movement. Voltarol Joint and Back Pain Relief 2.3% gel contains diclofenac diethylammonium. Always read the label.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
This is LBC with Richard Spur. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Good morning. We're talking about the things that scare you, but which, well, shouldn't really, because they are irrational fears or phobias, on 0345 6060973. Kerry is in Canterbury. Lovely Canterbury. Morning, Kerry.
Oh, hello.
Hello. Tell me about the things that scare you, but which, well, you know, if you were very objective and scientific, probably wouldn't do.
Well, number one, I want to move into Rob's house.
Yes.
Because I love spiders. But
you love spiders?
Phobia,
how can you love
yes,
spiders?
Yes, I love spiders. Oh. And also, I hate avocado, but I do like coriander.
This is very strange. How can anyone hate an avocado? They are the most wonderful fruit in the world, surely.
They taste like soup.
I do know what you mean. And I think for some people it's a bit of a textural thing. I like things that are very gelatinous. So I like things like octopus. And, you know, when you have like slow-cooked shin of beef, things like that. The other thing...
Well, I'm vegetarian, but carry on.
Oh, right. In which case, it's only going to get worse for you. There's a particular Chinese dish called beef tendon, which I like. Needles, okay.
Yes. So I've got a massive phobia of needles. I've had tattoos,
mm-hmm.
but it's like the syringe that goes inside, like, it's terrible.
It's not just the fact that you feel, you know...
I don't mind pain.
No, you feel a bit of a sharp...
I can't even see them on the television.
It's as bad as that. You can't even look at one.
No, I mean, I did try to watch something on the television, and it was like 999 something. And then I had to... So, to try and get me over my phobia, I tried to watch it, and then I fast-forwarded to the adverts the entire time.
Have you always had that? But we don't really get exposed to needles much, do we, until we get a little bit older? I suppose we do have inoculations. Is it basically what I'm saying is, has this been for as long as you can remember?
This has been as long as I can remember. And when I was pregnant with my daughter, they told me that I had to have a cesarean.
Right.
So I said, don't show me the size of the needle for an epidural.
For the epidural.
They didn't. But I had to go to counselling in order to have a blood test when I found out that I was pregnant with Alice to make sure it's something to do with an anti-D or something.
Yeah, they've got to see what the state of your blood is if you're pregnant, yeah.
Yeah, and then I went once and they said after 10 sessions you'll be able to hold a needle. So they showed me a picture of a needle. Just a photograph of a needle, and then I didn't go back.
So it didn't work.
Well, no, I had my daughter though.
But did you have the blood test?
Yes, I did, and I nearly pulled the arms off the chair, and I had to have 20 milligrams of diazepam.
Well, I was going to say, because the one way around that is to have some diazepam before you do it, but, you know...
20 milligrams. They offered me 3, and I said, that's not going to work.
3 wouldn't touch the sides. No. But obviously, a doctor must prescribe that, and it's not something that you should ever do yourself. Now, listen, I can understand the idea of being fearful of having... It's because it's a foreign object going into your body, and it does hurt a little bit,
but we're talking about it now, and I'm even cringing.
Now, listen, you said you'd had these counselling sessions. Can I ask sort of briefly what form they took? Because clearly they didn't work.
It was a sort of like a place that they sort of like said, because I'm needle phobic.
No, but what did they say to you? How did they try to do it?
The first introduction, well, I said, I'm needle phobic, but I'm going to have this child because she's not going to be in... She's 22 now. She's not going to be in me forever. So I was just like, okay, can you sort it out? And they said, go to counselling. So I turned up, and then, as I said, they just had a picture of a syringe on the table, and I couldn't even... and they said after 10 weeks of counselling, you'll be able to hold one.
So you've never had a TB inoculation? You've never had a vaccination?
I have had in my arm, but it's in the vein. Oh.
You don't mind intramuscular, but it's intravenous. So it's the blood test. It's when... Yeah, I see.
Okay. Yeah, that one.
Okay.
And I've had tattoos. I've got tattoos.
But that's bizarre.
That's not bizarre. It goes into your blood.
Yeah, but a tattoo's done with a needle.
Yes, but it's... Well, it's a tiny prick.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
No. Yes. I mean, I'm as well as I ever will be. No, I mean, the point is I don't have a phobia of needles.
Don't say point.
Pardon?
You said point. It's a needle. Okay.
I see what you're doing. Listen, Kerry, are you going to try and get over this? Are you going to go for hypnotherapy, or are you just going to go through your life trying to...
Hypnotherapy is rubbish.
Avoid injection. Well, I don't know about that, because I've never tried it, so I wouldn't like to say. But listen, I feel for you, and, you know, I suppose sedation is the only way forward. Heather is in Goffsoak in Hertfordshire. Morning, Heather.
Good morning.
Sorry, I was getting a bit worried about Carrie there. Yes, what would you like to say?
I used to work for a high street bank, but I was in the training HR department.
Oh yeah.
My main job was going training staff in the branches or doing courses. We also used to help out when things went wrong.
Yes.
And there was an incident at the Hackney Wick branch of this particular bank.
Right.
So we were kind of like people that went in to keep the branch going, you know, to keep the customers happy and the phones and help out wherever we needed to help out. And this particular branch, they had people come in with pickaxes and they pushed the counter down. And they had those masks on with piggy faces. Masks, you know, the ones that are kind of like really soft plastic.
Yeah, you see them on films when there's a bank robbery, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what happened. But I wasn't actually there when it happened. I went in afterwards, and I was just listening to the stories and listening to the staff, and obviously I'm not a trained counsellor, don't get me wrong, I'm not. I was trained in training, but yeah. Not counselling.
Sure.
And then back in the day, so I'm nearly 60 now, we used to have a lot of fancy dress parties.
Right.
One day I was at this party and someone came in with, it wasn't even the piggy mask, it was just one of those close-fitting plastic things that cling around your face. And I just went, well, I've got to go home.
I think I know what you mean, like the sort of thing that you might wear at a masquerade ball or something like that.
A narrow masquerade ball, you have like a little mask on.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
A pretty one over your face or something, over your eyes. That's a masquerade ball. This is like a plastic thing that goes all around your head.
Right. Okay. Okay.
It's really soft, kind of pliable plastic.
Is it the idea, though? Do you think, Heather, that it's disguising what's real? Because I think I can understand that with clowns and ventriloquist dummies and stuff. Is it the plastic itself?
And they had pickaxes and they smashed through the counter. So I was just reliving I was told, but I wasn't actually there.
No.
But it still freaked me out a bit. I still don't like it.
I'm not surprised.
I don't go to those sort of parties anymore.
Well,
they weren't weird parties. They were just fancy dress parties.
No. I mean, I
wanted to look really authentic. They'd wear one of them, you know?
Yeah. I can quite see what you mean. These sort of fancy dress, and often at Halloween, I think, you know, that can't be great for people with phobias. But what a strange thing! It's almost as if you were reliving the story that you've been told about the armed robbery that happened by proxy. I know people who have dreadful problems with certain plastics, you know, latex or plastics that are squeaky. You know, the plastics that are squeaky when you run your fingers along them. Some people find that sort of that noise and that feel. I tell you, I used to go out with someone who had an absolute total aversion to squeaky veg. Do you know what I mean by that? You know when you've got green beans, like those dwarf beans or those French beans, and they're cooked as they should be, slightly al dente. And when you bite into them, they always slightly squeak. Total aversion just to what we came to call squeaky greens. Very strange. Text here to 84850 says, I have a phobia of cotton wool. Really? So having blood tests at doctors, then they put the plaster on with the cotton wool and it freaks me out. Yeah, I can see that. G'day, Richard, says Shane in Sydney. You flaming orange galah. He got bitten by a redback spider in the western suburbs in the 1960s when he was a kid. Now I can't stand spiders. Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, if you're in Australia, it's normal. It's not a phobia to be scared of spiders, is it? It's sensible, because they can kill you. Anyway, can't stand. The other day I picked up a bag and a huntsman spider was on my hand. Those are those really horrible, dangerous, deathly ones, aren't they? I think you would have heard me all the way in London screaming, says Shane in Sydney. And you do read occasionally, don't you, of people coming home from the supermarket with, you know, like a bunch of bananas or a box of fruit, and in it there's a black widow or there's some incredibly exotic spider that's a dangerous spider that's hidden in the box from the country that they came from. Rarely, you see. That's the sort of stuff that local TV news programmes love. That's their bread and butter, if they hear about something like that that's happened. Sorry, I've had to turn the volume down now, as I can't listen to scary spider stories. I'm really sorry about that. I'm sorry. I've been struggling myself. I really have. Richard, I have a fear of certain patterns on furniture. I want to hear more about this. I want to hear more about people who have fear of certain repeating patterns, because I think that's a little bit like my thing with that light in the swimming pool, which, although it was round, the light inside the pool, it always looked oval to me. You know, all the time I'd ever seen it was from the top of the pool, and so the refraction made it look oval. But when I dived in and saw it was round, I had a panic attack. I think it started as a child. It's from Jackie in Cheltenham. A fear of certain patterns on furniture started as a child due to issues with my perception in my brain. Yeah, I can quite see that. I used to have a phobia of the wallpaper in one of our local restaurants, but that's just because it was absolutely ghastly. Paul's in Woolworth and says, well, when I was very young, I had a phobia of vacuum cleaners. We had a dog that had a phobia of vacuum cleaners. He used to try and kill the vacuum cleaner and bite the nozzle, even when they were not being used. This is so fascinating. Think about it. Why would you have a phobia of a vacuum cleaner just standing there in a cupboard or a cylinder vac? I bet it was an upright. I bet you were more scared of an upright than a cylinder vac, Paul, because they're a bit more sort of Doctor Who-y, aren't they? They're a bit more like Daleks. I've always been afraid of large shadows. And if I see a large shadow, I have to close my eyes. Well, it's a good job that you didn't work in the music industry in the 1950s or 60s. And this says, listening tonight to this programme, I'm going to become allergic to people with phobias. Well, you know, we all have our own hidden fears. But what's yours? 0345 6060 973.
Coming up at 4 on LBC, Ian Payne.
Former Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau attended King Charles' speech wearing a blue suit and green Adidas trainers. Anyone else think that's just wrong?
Ian Payne on LBC.
When you're transported somewhere you've never been. When you discover hidden gems and amazing sights. When you just can't wait to pack your bags.
It's just stunning.
We should definitely go there.
I'm already looking at flights.
Nice.
Nothing brings us together like great TV. And a TV licence covers you to watch all TV channels so you can enjoy a world of travel from the comfort of your sofa. Search TV licence together.
Angela Rippon, what are you doing here?
I've come to tell you about using energy flexibly, Albert.
Flexibly?
Yes, smart meter owners could get rewarded for moving their energy use, like doing the laundry at off-peak times.
So I don't need to do the splits?
No, Albert. Nobody wants to see that.
Get rewarded for using energy flexibly, only with a smart meter. Search Get a Smart Meter today.
Eligibility and availability vary. Consumer action required. Reward schemes and tariffs available to selected customers from selected suppliers.
If you've been injured in an accident at work, you could be entitled to thousands of pounds in compensation. Talk to Harris Fowler today. For over 25 years, we've helped people who've been injured at work, in a warehouse, a factory, on site, or anywhere. With a 97% success rate, call the award-winning Harris Fowler now. 0800 213 214. It's no win, no fee, no risk. Harris Fowler, the personal injury solicitor.
Calling all young creatives. Kickstart your career in media. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12 at Global Academy. GlobalAcademy.com.
This is LBC. Message Richard Spur on WhatsApp now. 0345 60 60 973.
Goodness me. Yes, we're talking about all the things that scare us, but that, well, really shouldn't. Irrational fears and phobias. I've already fessed up to my childhood phobias of buttons, wind socks, shapes which were distorted by water. And what else did I used to have phobias about? Well, all sorts of things. 0345 6060973. I still haven't heard from anybody who has successfully overcome an irrational fear, either through one of those self-help books or probably online blogs or, you know, hypnotherapists or anything like that. I don't just write off all hypnotherapists as charlatans. I think that's unfair, largely because I've never tried it, you know. And, you know, I don't like to just decide that things don't work without having experienced them myself. Lance is a first-time caller to this radio station in Hartford. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning, Richard.
Hello. You're very welcome. Tell me about your phobia.
My phobia is blood pressure monitors. If I go into hospital, doctors, anywhere, anyone's got in their house, I can almost say where they are. I just sense them. And this started when I was 18, got kicked in the head, taken to hospital with concussion.
Yeah.
And the first thing they do is take your blood pressure.
Of course, yeah.
And it was up. Didn't take too much notice. And then after it, the nurse gave me a big list of things that might happen when I go home. And ever since then, I've associated that sort of message with blood pressure monitors.
Well, I mean, that's a very direct association, isn't it, with the implement, the piece of equipment, and the bad news that shocked you.
Yeah.
So that to me would sound logical. It sounds like something that you maybe should have talked to somebody about over the years. Have you ever tried to unpick it?
I've had to say treatments, but strange enough, the nearest I've got to getting over it, I've got spinal stenosis now, which is, you know, it's bad for me back, and I was going to operate, and I went in for, they'd give you an epidural first of all, yeah, to see if they can get rid of it that way.
Which is not pleasant, no.
And I was in, you go in hospital for this day, and I was in there for about 7 hours waiting, and I was the last one to go in. And all day long I was waiting for them to take my blood pressure.
Yeah.
And there was an orderly come round, and he was a West Indian man. He was wonderful. He's not a doctor or anything like that. And he said, why are you looking so nervous? I said, the monitor. And he said, man, it's only numbers. And he's the only one that gave me, strange enough, reassurance. Well, since then, I'll say, if I can go in... Yeah, if I go in anywhere, I just know where the machine is.
Is it that when you and listen, I'm not trying to take the role of any sort of psychotherapist here, but is it the fact that is it the look of them? Because there used to be those old fashioned ones, didn't they, which almost looked like a thermometer, and they had like a black. Do you remember they had like a black pump thing on them?
Yeah.
But nowadays, what it tends to be is, and in fact, I've got one myself. It's like just a little tiny grey box with a tube, and then it's a cuff that goes around your arm, and you press a button, and it just does it. Are you as fearful as those as you are of those old fashioned ones?
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm sitting in bed now, and I've got one in the cupboard because I have to take it. I mean, blood pressure is always all right on that, but it takes me about five goes before I calm down. As soon as I open the box, I feel a surge go through me, and it's awful. And I can't. My mother-in-law, my late mother-in-law, used to laugh. And I said, "Mum, we used to have to drag you up the plane to get on a flight because she's so panicky."
Well, this is where we began with the flight. I mean, forgive me for saying this, but it strikes me that your blood pressure monitor isn't a great deal of use to you, because every time you use it, your blood pressure is going to be so artificially high because you're scared of it that it's not going to give an accurate reading.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, when I have...
So there's probably not a lot of...
When I had the insurance and they take the blood pressure and you get a high premium, and yet as soon as I walk out there and I calm down, it's okay. I've tried the thing that did, I thought might work, is I sit quietly in a room and I put this... You can get this app on your phone that plays this gentle music, rain or whatever.
Oh, I have those to try and sleep, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing that always seems to happen to me, I'll put the machine on, someone rings me.
Yeah.
And sort of breaks up the momentum. And I think, oh, for goodness sake, no phone calls. And the minute you go to do something, but it's irrational, I know that.
Do you know what, though, Lance? I'm so sure there's someone that could help you over that. Because what you've made a direct correlation between the bad news that you received when you were younger as a result of having high blood pressure. Now, you know, your blood pressure was high at that stage, but it didn't kill you. You're still around.
I'm 81.
Yeah.
I'm 81 now, so I'm still hanging. So I've had this for over 60 years.
Very much. And you've made a direct link in your mind between the machine and the result that at the time made you scared. My feeling is that that's a very easy causal link to break. So if I was you, I'd look into trying getting some help for that, because I don't think that that's a very difficult problem for you. I reckon somebody who knows these things could break that causal link and mean that you weren't so fearful. And therefore, when you had your blood pressure taken in the future, it would actually be accurate rather than being sky high the whole time.
Well, I think my father had the right idea. I did think about hypnosis, and he'd had hypnosis for smoking.
Try it.
And I said, "Harry, did it work?" He said, "Oh, yeah." So I said, "What do you think it was, hypnosis?" He said, "No, at the time." He said, "It was a thought of wasting £25.
Do you know what? That reminds me of the wonderful late Paula Grady and Lily Savage. And during one act, said, I tried on one occasion the nicotine patches. You know, the nicotine patches. And and he goes, they work for a while, because I put one on each lens of my specs and I couldn't see to find me fags." which strikes me as a little bit similar to that. Lance, I hope you get over that. I reckon you could get that sorted really easily if you do a bit of research. Morning from Cornwall. Ah, yes. My favourite Cornwall. Oh, my favourite duchy. I thought it said I can't touch the floor. I can't touch flour. The thought of it alone is like fingers being dragged down a chalkboard. Awful. I love the feeling of flour. Don't you? Why not? Feels chalky. Not normal. Really? Not wheat flour, though. You don't like it? No, I mean, well, I like flour. I love that feeling. If you're making pasta or bread dough, I love that feeling of the flour and the stuff oozing through your fingers. It's better when it's wet, Martha. Yeah, okay. Since I was 7 years old, I've had a fear of vinegar. I love the smell of vinegar. Do you know what? I even drink vinegar sometimes. I will drink vinegar on its own. I have a fear of vinegar. The way it smells makes me heave. Oh, I love it. Sometimes when I eat out and people use tomato sauce or brown sauces, I have to move table or go outside. It is banned from my house. Goodness. I once knew a nurse who's... There's the start of a story. Who said that whenever she felt sick or felt that she was going to be sick, she would imagine the smell of lemons. She would imagine the smell of a lemon grove, or, you know, when you cut into a lemon and smell it. And said that was the way that stopped her being sick, to remember the smell of lemons. I have a phobia of people licking their fingers and changing the page of it. Yeah, changing the page of a newspaper. Yeah. Yeah. Luckily, everything is digital now, so I don't have to face it, says Anton, who is from Bristol and Quebec, which is a good trick if you can do it. He's in Quebec. Bristol. There is a Bristol in Quebec. Oh, with Simon Marks. Okay. How far? Yeah, of course, lots of English names. Bristol, perhaps. And it here says, it sounds like your caller should get one of those smart rings or watches. And then it'll monitor it constantly. So no getting stressed trying to take it, says John in Kent. That's your blood pressure. Goodness. Well, mine was certainly raised by that talk of spiders, but I think it's returned to normal now. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Catch Up on both Global Player and the brand new LBC app, where you can stay up to date with all the latest news and opinion, put your news categories in the order that you want, pause and rewind live radio, and then you can listen to a range of podcasts. Download the all-new official LBC app for free from your app store now. I'll be back with you on Monday at 1. But now it's Ian Payne.
You were sounding very Wogan-like this morning.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Quite whimsical and deep.
Libel and Slan.
I knew you'd be good at him.
I'm a broadcaster of the highest repute.
Very good.
Libel and Slan.
Very good. Yeah. Are you scared of stuff then? What are you scared of?
Well, I mean, I've said already.
Well, I was sort of half listening. Obviously, yeah, I was preparing for my show.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very deeply.
What was I scared
spiders?
Of?
Spiders?
No, yeah, I'm terrified of spiders.
Why are people scared of spiders? Are you already scared of things that go faster than you? Like birds trapped in a room?
That's anything.
Yeah.
Anything goes faster than me.
Spiders, you can just walk away. You don't even have to run.
But people say to you, oh, they eat flies and they're more scared of you than you are of them. They're not.
Why are you scared of?
Why would they come running at you in that way?
They're not running.
They are.
Spiders never run.
I hate them.
They limp.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play.